Hi, my name is Roma Gray from Connors Quay Nomads, and you're listening to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast with Weber and Jonah.
Well, look, it's all over for some, but actually this weekend marks the start of another journey for some people. Welcome to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast. Playoff news to come, thinkings about the season. I know that's not grammatically correct, I don't care. Also to come, and some interesting news about Tom Pentra breaking in the past 48 hours, which we'll have a little chat with Jonah about. But first, Jonah, look, for some this may seem like end of the season, dead rubber, beach football. For others, there's still some stuff to play for, isn't there?
Plenty to play for, Mark. What a lot of people, you know, might not understand is these playoff places are worth, you know, 215,000 euros in a place in Europe. So anybody who thinks their end of season rubber games is most probably got it the wrong way.
Yeah, so we'll talk about clubs that are probably still playing for something in a second. But when you look at the likes of TNS, who are obviously now the champions, Connors Quay and Barry know where they are. Unfortunately, Llanelli and Llandud know where they are. Kevin Druids know where they are. You've got players now, a chance for those managers to play different players. And more importantly, the message to those players is, this may be your one chance to earn that contract for next summer, next season. Go for it.
Definitely, Mac. Well, that's what I meant, you know, in my earlier answer. For the likes of the four teams who's involved in the playoffs, they got to play for their places. But the other players in the league who's playing for teams, they got to play for their places in their squads. It's a great league to be involved in. And, you know, if you don't do as well, you know, as you've been doing all season and you've tapered off towards the end of the season, say you're a striker, you bang hat-trick or a couple of goals in your last game, you know, it might just be a little tiny bit of difference while the manager says, oh, I think I'll keep him for next season and offer him a new contract. This is what it's all about, mate. And this is why, Mac, I think in our league, even in the English Premier League, which we mentioned once or twice, there's so many shock results come the end of the season. People look at the fixtures and they say, you know, Manchester City most probably and Liverpool apart, but all the top six in the Premier League, I think, are getting beaten by teams way down the leagues, and that's because teams are trying to, you know, get contracts for next season, and nothing changes in our league. Everybody's trying to impress a manager right up until the last final whistle of the season.
And for some of the players who are probably not making the cut, at like Kevin Druids at the moment, wondering if they're going to be with the Druids next season, or even be with Llandudno and Llanelli. You mentioned the teams below them. You know, we have a championship next season, a North and a South Championship, which sides there will be increasingly investing in to get out of and to get into the Welsh Premier League. I fancy those two leagues are about to become increasingly tougher. So therefore, they're going to be shopping for quality. They might even, you know, break the budget a bit to get a bit of quality that's dropped down from the Welsh Premier League for players who have not been able to play at WPL standard but have it in them.
Well, I think the Barry situation and the Barry getting to Europe just tells every team in the league below them that's the dream. They were Welsh League Division 3, weren't they, 5 or 6 years ago. Cardiff Met also, I know we mentioned it a few times, you know, they were Welsh League Division 3 5 or 6 seasons ago. They're still in a European playoff now. Barry are in Europe. Llan did not come through the leagues and won their way to Europe 2 or 3 years ago. So Carnarvon this season are in a European playoff in their first year back up. So that's the build. If you're only one league away from a league where you're playing into Europe, you're going to take it very seriously.
Now, Elliot Evans has already said this is the season to deliver. Met have banked themselves that playoff berth now. Aberystwyth can't win it. And those are quite prophetic words, aren't they, Jonah? Because, okay, they've got themselves a Nathaniel MG Cup, brilliantly won. But if they don't win playoffs this season, that will just wipe away any memory of the MG Cup for them, will it?
Yeah, listen, I suppose, I mean, that's a bold statement at this time of the year, but perhaps because they failed, got beaten in the last two, it might be a different attitude from a couple of players to say, we're ready, we want to go and win it. So, you know, I want my players to be saying that, by the way, but it's a lot of playing, more than talking, to be done yet, mate. There's two semi-finals to be played in, and there's a final to be played in. And it looks like the Met, well, they are, aren't they? The Met are going to Carnarvon. That's a big ask. That is a big ask up there. I think they'll, what I was going to bring up is I wonder whether Carnarvon might break the league record of 2,500, something like that, on the day in the first playoff. I'm sure the whole of the town will come out and get behind Sean Eardley's team, and it'll be a big challenge for the Met. But they're so exciting, these two semi-finals. I just think, you know, there's plenty of, that's what I mean, there's plenty of football to be played yet.
Well, yes, mathematically, Newtown could take that top playoff berth off Carnarvon, but it would have to be a fair goal swing if for that to happen. So it does look like it's Carnarvon's, and interestingly, of course, in the past couple of weeks, they've been out shopping themselves, got themselves an Alan Bickerstaff, obviously comes with the UEFA badge, and they now have the UEFA licence to compete in the UEFA Cup in Europa League next season now as a result of bringing Bickerstaff on board.
You know, there's no doubt Sean Eardley's been the main man this season. He's done a fantastic job, but perhaps he might be looking long-term for a bit of an assistant. You've got to have a pro licence member of your staff if you're going to get into Europe, so it was a no-brainer, really, wasn't it?
We've had a conversation before about how well the Cofia Army have done, Carnarvon have done, and you know, you talk about how many they might bring for a playoff semi-final. God, can you imagine if they got into Europe and they brought anybody to the Oval? Because my understanding is the Oval is fit for purpose for European football. Home games will be played there.
Yeah, well, that's the dream, and that's what they wanted. That's what the Welsh Premier League's all about. It's you know, it's happened down in Barry. It's got a chance it could happen in Carnarvon. And it's just, it brings history to your club, don't it? You know, it brings history back to your club. It's everything this league is all about. It's every league's about winning, but this is a little bit special because league teams at our levels can qualify for Europe and play with, you know, with the real big boys in Europe, and it's just fantastic, and it's a dream, isn't it?
Tell you what, let's have a listen to what Carnarvon captain Nathan Craig's going to say for himself.
You know, I have to say on record, everyone at the club has worked tirelessly to make sure we've got that domestic licence, because it's so. I think it's crazy because I saw something on social media this week, 12 months ago, where we won the Hillsgrave Lions at Llandinoe Junction. Who would have thought, you know, 12 months onwards, we've secured the top six, we've got the domestic licence to have a chance to play in Europe. So, yeah, a massive thank you to everyone behind the scenes who's worked hard, and obviously as lads on the pitch, we've done our bit.
So the domestic licence is in your pocket, the UEFA licence in your pocket, uh-huh. And the final game next Friday against Bala Town. I understand it's going to be a big night, as well as on the pitch, off the pitch as well.
Yeah, we've had to arrange another bus. So there's about 120 going on the bus, and I've heard there's a good 150 to 200 travelling by car as well. So I don't think there'll be anyone left in Carnarvon. But, you know, they've been fantastic all season, even down in Cardiff Mets when it's raining all game. You know, they do turn up in their numbers like they did again tonight. So I think just their support next week is just going to kick us on, and we're going there obviously to win the game, because we know a point is enough, but we're going into every game to try and win the game, so hopefully next week we'll secure that Europa spot.
And I understand there's a specific dress code for Carnarvon Town fans at Maes Tegid.
Yeah, I actually saw something on social media that they've sold out on Mexican dresses and hats and sombreros, everything on Amazon this week. So I think all the Cofis has been trying to ordering stuff in. So yeah, it'll be fantastic to see them. Obviously, fancy dress. Yeah, just can't wait to get next Friday's game now.
Well, we must mention that all games, the last round this week, kick off at 7:45, and Jonah will be travelling up to Bala to Maes Tegid to watch Bala play Carnarvon. The game perhaps that would have been chosen a few weeks ago if there was still a run-in for the title. New Saints against Connors Quay Nomads playing in this final round of fixtures. Before I get your opinion on that, Jonah, I'm interested in what Scott Rusko's going to say about how he's going to play the next few weeks and future strategy for the club. Let's hear from him.
If you look at how well we've been doing recently, we haven't really changed the side, maybe one or two players, so they find the rhythm and the momentum with them, and they, you know, the partnerships that we form and create are just seen, you know, week in, week out, because they're used to doing things, they're used to the patterns and everything. So when you get new players in, it takes a little bit of time to get used to it, and obviously making the subs straight after half time, it's you were bringing Ben on to give him minutes. I'd like to have brought him on in midfield for a half, but it's not to be. He can play anywhere, Ben. So, yeah, so I'm happy. I probably expect a little bit too much from our players every single game. And they've won the league, and then it's a game at home the next week. And yeah, but I'm happy with the win.
Our two possibly biggest hopes in Europe next season, battling it out on Friday then, Jonah. And you know my theory about why TNS were perhaps a bit so slow to the market in the league, because they had a phenomenal run that sometimes we forget at the start of the season in Europe. They want to do that again, and Nomads will want to, you know, take them on at that as well. Where are these two sides missing in terms of strength in depth to make them even more potent in Europe next season?
I know I'm not at the level enough, I think, to knock to say a team who scored 55 goals and let in four in the last 12 or 13 games, for me to say they're missing somebody somewhere might be a bit me trying to be a little bit like Pep Guardiola there, by the way. But I just think, obviously, you know, Greg is putting the ball in the back of the net regularly. Brobble's got 15 now. The good thing that I seen Saturday, Mark, was Alan Edwards 10+, Brobble 10+, Mullen 10+, as well as Greg. And that's the first time them three have got 10+ in the league for, you know, in ever since they've been there. So that's a great stat, and it looks like everybody else is weighing in now with the goal scoring. But yeah, maybe they need another somebody like Greg who can put the ball in the back of the net as regularly as he can. But they seem to be top draw at the moment. And Connors Quay Nomads, it's all gradual. You know, you just can't get into Europe and overnight go and turn over good sides. It's gradual. It's bit by bit. You know, look where they were 4 years ago. They were bottom but three when Morrison took over. Then they gone to Europe. It looks like they're definitely in Europe again. They've gone the Iron Brew. So I would say for them to get into Europe and maybe, you know, get one victory in Europe, that's a massive, massive improvement, obviously, to where they were four seasons ago.
Yeah, but I mean, when I mean strength in depth, I think one thing that might play on TNS's management's mind is they remember what happened at the start of this season. They were doing so well and flying the flag for this country in Europe. And then after that ended, there was a dip. And there was a dip that at one stage looked to threaten them getting the league title. And that's something they definitely don't want to give over. So for me, the strength in depth comes from a few. They do need to sign a few more bodies, perhaps use some of that million and a bit that they earn or more. And for me, actually, for TNS, I disagree with you up front. I think they need a couple of more bodies in defence, because I think they need to be able to sort of carry on with their campaign in defence and in Europe and in the WPL by keeping goals out. I think that was that's where the mid-season dip happened for me. I don't think it was them scoring it. I think it was them letting them in.
Yeah, well, they're actually going to set a record. I think they've let in 16 goals since the 12 started. So the record is 19, I think. So, I mean, they've done okay in that department. And about bringing players in as well, I suppose we need to let people know as well that TNS last week were defeated 2-1 by Swansea City. That's a championship club, by the way, in the Welsh Youth Cup final. 2-1 in what was supposed to be an excellent game. So they're defeated by a championship football club 2-1 in a Welsh Youth Cup final, which says they got plans at TNS as well to bring players through their systems. And maybe they're trying to do it that way.
Yeah, well, that would work very well for them, and I'm sure that would stop the need for buying any more players in. I'm sure that Mike Harris would love that. Then he gets to keep a couple of more million euro in his bank account.
Oh, he told me all about it, mate, on Saturday. Don't worry, he was over the moon with he was disappointed that they didn't win the Welsh Youth Club, in fact. So, you know, things look to be going well there. But as you say, them, Connors Quay, Barry, and whoever will be in Europe this season, everybody in Europe will know that the Welsh clubs are improving.
Now, we will always advocate, wherever you are locally, that you should turn up and see a Welsh Premier League game. Friday nights, right now, I don't think there's any excuse for you to miss all of these games, but I want to make a special appeal if you're up in the Llandudno area, really, because it's Llandudno's last game at home in this Welsh Premier League. They've served us well. They've had troubles the past season and a half, that's true, but they did play in Europe, and it will be their last home game for the moment in the Welsh Premier League against Druids. It'd be nice to see the locals giving them a bit of a little send-off as they head to the Championship.
Yes, Mark, I think we said last week that the next year's season for Llandudno no starts now. So, you know, they got to go. They got to try and encourage a few more supporters back to their club. I'm sure they'll be amongst the favourites for next season's championship title. The likes of Colwyn Bay, Bangor, Rhyl, all in the league. So it's going to be a great league for them to participate in. But their season starts now. So, yeah, they'll want to finish their season with a home win. And also, by the way, Will Hughie Griffiths, he'll want to finish Kevin Druid's season with a home, with an away win. So great game to be at Llandudno this Friday night.
Right, before we move on to other stuff then, a rundown of who's playing who. They are all Friday, 7:45 kickoffs. The live one on Scorio is Bala against Caernarfon Town. Down at Jenner Park, you'll see Barry Town United play Newtown. The Met are hosting Llanelli. Carmarthen are hosting Aberystwyth. Llandudno, as we said, hosting Kevin Druids. And it's Saints against Connors Quay at Park Hall. We talked about the Druids on the pitch earlier on in this podcast, but it's got a little off-the-pitch event to organise in the next few weeks. Well, on the pitch and off the pitch, they're hosting the Welsh Cup Final, the JD Welsh Cup Final. So let's hear from John Hughes now, the Druids chairman, about how happy he is to get that event. We knew how successful it was at Newtown last year, and how he's planning to make it just as good with the Druids this year.
Traditionally, Druids have always been at the forefront of the original Welsh Cup. And I think they played in the first one in Rhiwabon in 1879, I think it was, or 1876. So, yeah, we're proud to host it, really are looking forward to it. I think we're guaranteed of having an absolute full house because, as I said, you know, traditionally the town and the area is a football-mad area. So, yeah, it means a lot to the people that live in that particular catchment area, and we're looking forward to it.
And do you think it's a recognition as well that the club seem to be progressive off the field of play these days as well?
Yes, I don't think the Welsh FA would have asked us to host it if they didn't think that we could do it properly, and we will do it properly. We're looking forward to it, looking forward to the management of it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
I want to divert us, before we go, Jonah, to a little bit of, well, worrying news that's coming out of Tom Pentra. Released a statement online last night saying that they're having real struggles with certain things and there is a danger they may not be able to field sides as of next season. Now, what they're clear about, because I don't think you've seen this statement, to be honest with you, Jonah, they're not saying there's money worries there. They're saying that there are issues of the amount of work that they have to do to get the club running on a day-to-day basis, a lack of volunteers, a dwindling amount of volunteers, and unfortunately, as the sort of older generation leave, there doesn't seem to be any more young boys from Rhondda and young girls from Rhondda wanting to get involved in the administration of the club. And it is putting the development of the club and the management of the club under peril. And it's sad that, because there's quite clearly a lot of footballing talent in the Rhondda, as we well know. And that club has got so much history, and it would be sad to see it go just for the sake of people not being having enough people to do the paperwork.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. Well, I suppose every club goes through lean periods, and you know, somebody will hopefully will come along and get back in and back help out on the committee and help out with the staffing, like you said. I mean, there's a club in that area at the moment that's thriving, aren't they? Cambrai Island Clydach. And sometimes, you know, when another club in your area is doing as well as Cambrai and that, you go under the radar and things go a little bit stale and nothing seems to go right for a year or two. But hey, you know, you just got to dig in there, hopefully, and somebody will come along and help Tom Pendle. I think they should, you know, get out to everybody and let everybody know that help is wanted. And, you know, we need the Bulldogs. We need the Bulldogs in a championship. Well, they'd go down to the second tier anyway. But, you know, the Rhondda will need a couple of sides. Even the Cambrian and Clydach people will tell you that. Yeah, they're rivals. But you've got to have rivals in your area. Local derbies and the like will always be wanted. You know, you're having Lidos and your Port Talbots have gone up and down. But there's always that little bit of course, crazy love for each other in the end. So nobody wants to see Tom Pender go under altogether. And let's hope something gets sorted about it, Mark.
Do you know what it reminds me of, Jonah? Me and you have got a common shared interest here. It reminds me of my State Park. It reminds me, Di Griffiths and all the team up there running My Stick Park, and slowly and slowly there wasn't enough people to help Di, was there?
Well, that, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. How long could he have gone on and kept doing it? He kept it going for as long as he could, and that's why there's so many great memories about the place. But even they've started up again in the local league, so, hey, come on, the people of the Rhondda, I'm sure there's youngsters up there, and listen, maybe, somebody clever will come along and have a vision of bringing a club back through again. And it happens, Mark. We know it happens. It happens all over football that somebody just joins a club, has a little bit of a dream, says, come on, let's go, we can do this. I fail to repeat to myself again, Carnarvon, Barry, they've all had barren years. They got chances. Barry are in Europe. Carnarvon got a chance to get in Europe. Ton were in Europe 20, 25 years ago. Why can't it happen 10 or 15 years down the line? But they've got to keep going, mate.
It don't half highlight to me, though, how much paperwork you have to do to run a football club these days, at any level, but especially this level. And we have to bear in mind, Ton Pendra don't have a full-time staff of one, let alone a full-time staff of 15 or 20, like Swansea or Cardiff might have. You know, it is all voluntary work, and there's only so much time people can give. And I wonder if that turns people off a bit about getting involved in that level. It's a level of responsibility now around football. I mean, you've got all the paperwork you have to do with safeguarding kids, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that paperwork. The safeguarding of young people is a priority for the future of the sport, but it don't half come at a cost for form filling and administration, and you know, people have got busy lives, and I just wonder whether it's going to be the forms that kill Welsh football rather than the disinterest in playing.
I think, listen, Mark, I just think at present that, okay, this is a bad period for Tom, but I'm sure in two or three years down the line, some youngster would have come along, give somebody a hand with the people who's there at the moment. Look, every sports club has to do it. If that's the attitude, right, where, you know, we'll football and cricket and the likes and rugby, and everybody has to have staff who at this level who's going to work, you know, voluntarily. So they'll get somebody to save them. I really hope that this podcast goes on up there. I hope somebody listens to the podcast. I hope somebody gets involved with them and say, hey, I'm not going to let this happen. Because they've been a great, great club over the year, Tom Penta. A great, great years going up there and playing in front of decent crowds up there against the Bulldogs. So, listen, let's hope that somebody gets a message, Mark, and let's get them the Bulldogs roaring again.
Well, I hope you're right. We'll soon find out. All the best to them up there. If you are in the Rhondda and you've got spare time in your hands, come on, help your local football team if you can. We'll be back in 7 days when we'll be talking about the end of the league and the beginning of a playoff. Say goodbye, John.
Yeah, nice one, Mark. All the best.